The next verse is very beautiful. It gives us now the means, gives us the step. What are the steps I should take? After having told the goal, now he's telling us the steps. And that's verse number 12. Sarva dvarani samyamya.
Sarva dvarani samyamya.
Mano hridi niruddhya cha.
Mano hridi niruddhya cha.
Murdhnya dhyayatmanah pranam.
Murdhnya dhyayatmanah pranam.
Asthito yoga dharanam.
Asthito yoga dharanam.
Together. Sarva dvarani samyamya. Mano hridi niruddhya cha. Murdhnya dhyayatmanah pranam. Asthito yoga dharanam. So sarva dvarani samyamya means close all the doors. I think last week we had talked about that there are 9 gates, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, mouth, 2 ears and 2 lower. So these are the gates and also the organs of action, the sense organs and the organs of action is where our energy leaks out because the impulses come in and then we act and that's where we lose our energy. We'll talk about what are these doors, 10 doors. Sarva dvarani samyamya, completely controlling these doors and mana hridi in the heart, niruddhya cha, controlling the mind in the heart. What is the heart? We'll talk about. It's not the pumping heart that pumps the blood. So because how can that control the mind? So we'll talk about that. How controlling the mind in the heart, niruddhya cha, and murdhnya, and in the murdhna, in the brow, dhyayatmanav pranam asthito. So controlling the mind and placing it in the brow, yoga dharanam, with the practice of yoga. So practicing yoga, we place the mind in the brow and control it and control all our 10 doors. So there are 5 sense organs, eyes, ears, you know, nose, skin and tongue, from which we get intake constantly. You know, I'm hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, all that. So when I am overindulging, seeing too much, spending too much time on the internet talking too much, chatting, spending a lot of time, or just talking too much, gossiping, moving around, activity. So these are the ways I lose my energy. Energy has to be conserved because all of us have a fixed amount of energy. Do I divert that energy for my upliftment, for my getting better, or do I waste it in this useless context? Does not mean I see no evil, hear no evil. I cannot stop seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. But the ability to keep the world outside. So when I am studying, then my focus is on that. Then I am not paying half time on the phone chatting and then half the time studying. No, then my attention should be at that. When it is time to, yes, be with friends and chat, yeah, do that. But when it is not, when I'm studying, when I'm doing my focus, then my focus should be on what is my goal. And at the same time, excessive activity, running around, doing things unnecessarily, going here, going there. So they say control your sense organs, control your organs of action. That includes speech, you know, unnecessarily talking too much. Of course, nowadays nobody talks, they only chat. I never hear anybody talking on the phone, but then that also is talking when you're chatting excessively, or whether it's Instagram or TikTok. I can't keep up with all the webs, the new things that come up. But that is called dissipating your energy. And keep these things outside the mind when the mind has to be focused. And where do you focus the mind? On the heart. Now, one heart is of course the pumping organ. But when in spirituality, in Vedanta, when we say heart, what we mean is the core of my personality where all the good qualities reside. the qualities of love, compassion, kindness, sharing. So the place where all those qualities reside is said to be Hrit, or said to be heart, H-R-I-T, Hrit. So what they say, that put your mind in the core of your personality where all your good qualities reside. So let your mind be filled with these qualities of love, compassion, unselfishness, sharing, all those, and remove these negativities like anger, greed, jealousy, etc. So focusing your mind on that, and the pranas, as we said, pranas are the physiological functions. So all my activities have to be controlled, directed inward. And to do that, to progress in any field, I have to have knowledge and I have to have love. Like, you may become a doctor and you may study a lot and you may know all the courses and you may pass and you may even get a, you know, become a PhD, or you become a, you know, masters, and you know, you have your own practice. But unless you love the field of medicine, or unless you love the branch, whether it's computers or law or engineering, you not only have to have knowledge, but you have to love that. So that's what they say, to progress in any field and to be happy, you have to have knowledge and you have to have love. So that's what they say, that control your mind, direct it in that field with knowledge and with true understanding. So correct knowledge is very, very important. And what they say is that just as a pilot, when he is flying, knows that at a certain time of danger, when there is a problem, he knows which button to press so he can exit with the parachute and get out of danger. So similarly in life, there may be problems may arise, but my ability to understand that how can I get out of these obstacles, these problems that come in my life, that comes from knowing the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and the other scriptures. So just as a pilot has studied aviation and knows how to control his plane, and at the time how to land the plane or even how to exit it with a parachute if the plane is crashing. So similarly, this plane of the body that we are flying through life, I have to, through the right knowledge of aviation, which is the Bhagavad Gita, I should know how to direct my life, how to fly it, how to take off, and then how to land ultimately, and if necessary, how to exit. So this knowledge tells us how to leave the body even at the time of death, what is the right way, because for a wise person, there is no death, as we talked about. So having clear understanding of this knowledge is very, very important. And I was listening to Guruji, Swami Tejomayanandaji, and he said very beautifully that what we are going through, this lockdown, why is knowledge important? Because what we are going through with this lockdown is a wonderful opportunity to unlock your potential. You know, we say, oh, I'm stuck in home. I can't go meet with my friends. I can't go to school. I can't go to college. Some of you have lost your graduation. You know, there have been deaths. There have been lost of jobs. But this is a time when I'm sitting home, instead of being caught in the World Wide Web, you know, www, instead of being caught in the World Wide Web, spend your time in unlocking your potential, discover your true potential. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? How can I work on? So use this opportunity to grow. To grow mentally, to grow spiritually, to grow intellectually. Spend some time in acquiring right knowledge. Spend some time in studying. Spend some time in meditation, in prayer. So that you pray not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of the whole universe. Because this situation that has come, you know, we look at all the negativities. That is true. There are a lot of negatives. But the universe is telling us no. There is a big NO that we have been going crazy with our travel and with our commuting and polluting the earth and destroying all other species, the plants, the birds, animals, fish. We are just completely destroying the nature, and we are polluting it with global warming and with. So the universe has told us to stop, and slow down. And actually, if you see right now, the earth is breathing, the trees are able to breathe, the pollution is so much less, because people are not just spending an hour and a half on the freeway. People are not just flying here and there for no reason. So the point is that this knowledge is what we need to acquire to grow spiritually. And it will protect us in the time of suffering, at the time of problems. And actually, this what I am talking about on the Chinmaya channel, those of you who would be interested, Guruji Swami Tejomayananda ji has done beautiful talks on Kathopanishad. Very simple and very practical, beautiful talks. It's half an hour every day you can listen, and it's so far 30 talks he has done. And this half an hour is the time best spent. Niru and I try every day to keep up with these talks, because they are not only geared to the highest student, but also to the beginner. So this knowledge will give us that there is a supreme God who is very benevolent, who is very kind. And what is happening is not a punishment, but an opportunity for the earth to purify itself and for us to grow. So do not think of this opportunity as a punishment or as a sorrowful, but as a chance to grow. The whole month of April, I didn't work. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed that time. You know, just spending more time in meditation, in studying, take up some new goal or new something. So learning and growing is this wonderful opportunity. And so that's what they say, take advantage of this opportunity, learn and grow, and know what is your goal in life and be focused. So that is what we have studied today. Even though the verses are related to meditation, that in meditation you quieten your mind and turn it towards the brow or turn it inward and focus on the Lord within. These verses are meant for meditation, but also can be transferred in our daily life. So that's what I try to do, to show that these verses are not only for a meditator, but are applicable to all of us, including students. So thank you very much. We have quite a few minutes today. So I would request each one of you to just think about it and speak. We'll start with the youngsters. Harshita.
I actually have a question about what we were learning today.
Yes.
You know how you said that we have to give 100% in like either the material world or the spiritual world? I was just wondering if there was like a certain way you're supposed to find like a balance between the two.
Yeah, very good question. Excellent question. So the point is that while I am engaged in my material, I should give it 100%. But at the back of the mind, I should also remember God. So keeping the at the substratum, the example they give in the olden days, these ladies used to carry the pot on their head, you know, and go to the river and bring water. They didn't have running taps. So when this lady would be walking, she would be playing with her friends and throwing stones at each other and, you know, gossiping. But part of her attention was focused on the pot, so the pot shouldn't fall. So even when I'm working in the world, even though I'm putting my effort, part of my attention should be on God, so that there is a God who has given me everything. So my attention should not deviate from that. And that does not mean I like these girls. They play, they throw stones, they fool around, and they laugh and they joke and they walk, but they make sure the pot doesn't fall. So the ability to focus on that. But yes, when I'm working, my attention, but then some amount of time I should give exclusively to spirituality. Whereas while I'm working, I do that, but keep attention on God, but then take out maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes every day, where I should give exclusive time to God, who has given me so much. If he has given me 24 hours, I can at least give him 20 minutes in the day. So, yeah, thank you. That's a very nice question. Rick?
Also, there is no difference.
Yeah, also there is no difference between my spiritual world and my material world. Because I have to bring my spiritual knowledge into the world. We had talked about that last time. Rick, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I just had a question on something that we were, like, you discussed early on today. You mentioned how that, like, people on their deathbed should be, like, thinking of God in their, like, in their, mm-hmm. like, you know, their dying moments. And I just kind of, like, had a hard time understanding. You, like, mentioned that if a person is like, in a coma and they're having trouble breathing, that they should be focused on their breath, like, to which I agree. But then you mentioned that they should also be, you know, focused on, you know, like, their, like, spiritualities. I just didn't understand what, like,
Yeah, I think we'll be talking about that next week when we meet. But what they say is called a japa japa. If I have been chanting the name of the Lord and remembering God constantly, so when I wake up in the morning and say Om Namah Shivaya, when I go to bed I say Om Namah Shivaya. So throughout the day when I chant or I remember God, then slowly that becomes like an undercurrent where the tape is constantly playing in my mind, whether I'm conscious or not. And so such a person, even when he or she is in coma, this tape will be constantly playing, the chanting of the name of the Lord.
It's like and, Rick is there.
And then like we said, as the, what you have remembered throughout your life, that is what you will remember at the time of death. You're right, at the time when I'm in a coma, I won't know anything. But if I have remembered God throughout my life, then my, then it's like your mind will be directed in that direction. And next week when we meet, we'll be talking about, we'll be continuing these classes in 2 weeks, but we'll talk about how you can use this spiritual knowledge to direct the arrow of your mind in the right direction. But your point is well taken, that when I'm in a coma, I won't know anything. But if throughout my life I have remembered God, then I will be directing my mind and my subtle body in that direction. So it will automatically go in that direction. It won't go anywhere else. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you. Mahima?
Mine was pretty much the same question as Harshita's, but I guess I just, I had a comment about how it's kind of been hard for me. Like, I really liked this week's talk because it's kind of been hard for me, especially during quarantine, to kind of find a balance in between all the things I do. So listening to all this today was helpful.
Thank you.
This one mentioned.
Okay, on Chinmaya channel, what is Mangalatayana Hari?
Yeah, he talked about why this pandemic is happening. It is for good. God
yeah,
has
yeah.
some plan.
So that's what I said. When you listen to the Kathopanishad talks, the number 30th talk,
yeah, but
he
it's
talks about
separate also.
Well, there's Mangalaya. A separate talk called Mangalatayana Hari. If you go to Chinmaya channel,
it talks about
will,
in detail.
He will talk in detail about what the pandemic is. So
why it is.
Yeah, so just go to Chinmaya channel on YouTube. And the talk is called Mangalayatano Hari.
Mangalayatano Hari.
Mangalayatano Hari. Amishi, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I had a quick comment about when you were talking about energy. I thought it was really interesting how you said if we don't monitor our energy, it can easily be wasted or drained. And I think that's really important in, like, today. Because especially in our society, we value like content culture, if that makes sense, over like valuing like the specific things or important things in life. Like we talk for the sake of talking, and it, honestly, I feel like it detracts from the actual value of the action. And I thought it was really important when you said that we should take the time to like quiet our minds for a little bit, actually like think rather than keeping ourselves busy with small actions that only pass time.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good point. Yeah, because the mind can get easily diverted. So by concentrating on your breath and by breathing is the best way when your mind is stressed or when you're very upset or angry. Just observing the breath will quieten the mind, and then that mind's energy can then be directed where you want. Thank you. That's a very good comment. Thanks. I appreciate that. Arpita?
Not really a question, but kind of how Mahima was saying, I feel like this talk especially was like super important to all of us, and like keeping focus and everything. So I just really like that.
Thank you.
Vandita?
Yeah, I agree with everything. I think especially what Amishi said, I think during quarantine, we have so much free time and we kind of just fill up that space by scrolling through Instagram and doing meaningless things like that. So it's really important that we use it as an opportunity to become more spiritual and keep pushing that. Yeah.
Thank you. No, because the internet is so easy to get lost. There's so many avenues, you know, Instagram and, you know, Facebook. People spend so much time on Facebook. There are 90 notifications I get every day. If I'm going to read all those 90 and then respond and like and don't like, how much time am I wasting? So use that time for social media is important. Not that one should not associate with friends and all. Like what we are doing now is social media, but that's a good use of social media where we are able to share ideas. I love all your comments and thank you very much. So yes, using the time wisely. God has given everybody 24 hours. It's not that Swami Chinmayananda had 25 hours and we had 23. We all have 24. How we use the 24 hours will determine what kind of life I will live in. Rushil?
God is like a death.
A general theme that came up a lot throughout this entire talk was like staying focused and kind of making sure that you're focused on the things around you. And I think especially now with, like, I know this happens for me where I'll be working and then I'll just like put it aside and go for like 10 minutes on my phone. Then I'll go back to work and then I'll wait. Oh my God, someone just texted me. I need to see what they said and then go back to it. So I thought it was interesting to, and like definitely needed to talk about how someone can stay focused, especially when there's so many distractions floating around us.
Right. No, and it's okay. I mean, you can say, okay, I'm going to work for an hour and then 5 minutes, I'm going to take a break or 10 minutes and do that and then go back, but not let the 10 minutes become 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Relaxation is important, or better than that is just go out and take a walk. You know, okay, I've studied for 2 hours. Now I'm going to take a brisk walk for 20 minutes, go out in the fresh air. So that is okay. But then not letting that become go ad infinitum. But thank you. That's a good point. Sagar?
I like the story about the grandmother and daughter.
Ah, that's so cute.
About detachment. I really enjoyed that story.
Thank you. Thank you. Is Mayur here?
Yeah.
Is it Sneha?
Yeah.
Like how you said, when you're talking about how people go through like great extents to like search for their answers, and sometimes it's like good to look within and just reflect.
Yes, thank you. Rishi?
You liked how in this chapter it was really clear how practical the Bhagavad Gita was. I guess when I was younger, I always thought that it was more of a spiritual text than something that we could use daily.
Yes. Yeah, Gurudev has written a book called Art of Man-Making, which gives how Bhagavad Gita can be used to make our life. That we do have in the library, in the mission. Everybody should read that, Art of Man-Making, which is the Bhagavad Gita translated into daily life. That's good. Khushi Nakrani?
Yeah. I It was interesting when you said, like, when the world ends, that the supreme consciousness still remains in, like, Brahman.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so true. And one who becomes with one with Brahman achieves deathlessness. Because then I never perish. That's why. Because once I know I am Brahman, I am that, then I may drop the body, but I as the consciousness will always remain. So that's what the goal of the Upanishad is. Jiva Brahma Aikyam. God and I are one. Even right now, God and I are one, but I don't know that. One who has experienced that, then for him there is no death. Thank you. Khushi Desai? Is she here?
No. Yeah. So I had a question actually.
I can't see you.
We were talking today about incorporating spiritual studies, into life. And I was thinking as we go to college and as we're, achieving goals in life, how do we balance ambition and spirituality, right? How can we, focus on succeeding in life without, and being competitive without, with practicing our values?
Right. I think that's you yourself answered the question, that be competitive, but don't forget your values. Being competitive is good, but that does not justify becoming dishonest, cheating others, lying, and stepping on them. Do your best, but always remember that God is with me. God is always with us. And so never forgetting that and keeping that in the back of the mind and the attitude of gratitude. Because gratitude is a very, very powerful force. When you have gratitude, then your heart becomes filled with love, filled with, all these good qualities. So yes, remembering God and then keeping attention on the work and then taking out some time, even just 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes every day on being with God. And then as for us, those who are older, we have more time. And now we have all day, there's nothing to do, nowhere to go, no parties, no drinking, no bars. That's good. So that is the time to think about God. So spend more time. But yes, at work, when I am at work, I have to be working. I can't say at work suddenly I stop and start praying. But in the back of the mind, this knowledge should be there. And then some amount of time at the end of the day, maybe sit and study the Bhagavad Gita for a few minutes. All of you take a copy of the Bhagavad Gita to college, just read 2 verses a day. 2 verses a day, Swami Chinmayananda's commentary will take you about 15 or 20 minutes. And in 1 year, you will have read the entire Bhagavad Gita. So that is a great way to spend your time in that.
Avya? But as a student, you have to be a best student.
Yes, of course, as a student, you have to be the best.
That is your duty.
Right.
See, when there are 4 ashrams in life that has been given in the scriptures, so as a student life, your first duty is to be a best student. So you should put in the effort. Like Anil Uncle said, that you should remember God. Because of him, I have this life and everything. And because of him, I am able to do it. That's all you remember. And do your duty, because by doing duty, you are purifying your mind. So that will happen. So that is important.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Khushi?
No, it did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Avya?
I really like the first and the primary discussion of today of focusing and putting our 100% whenever we're focusing on something.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to know that no matter what it is, if it's about God or about our daily life, that we're never at 100% focus. We can always put more into it. Even if we think that we're good or focusing, we're putting everything we have into it, there's always room for improvement no matter what it is.
Yes. Thank you. Very good. Harshini?
Always have high goals.
I have a hard time understanding something that you said earlier in the beginning of class when you talked about how we have to merge our own egos with God and everyone else. So I was wondering if you could go over that again.
Yeah, ego is one, of course, meaning of ego is arrogance, he's very egotistical. That's not what we mean. When in spirituality they talk about ego, Ego is the understanding that I am this limited body, mind, and intellect, that BMI, that is who I am. And I am separate from everybody else. I am separate from my friends, from my family, and I'm separate from society, and I am separate from God. That is called ego. The feeling that I am this limited being who is not connected. And they tell us that we are all connected. We are made of five elements, and the whole universe is made of five elements: air, space, fire, water, earth. Even a plant is made of that, even an animal or a bird. So physically, we are as one with the universe. Mind and intellect, they say there is the cosmic mind, which is called Hiranyagarbha. And my mind and intellect is a part of that total mind. So I am not separate. And spiritually, we know that there is only one consciousness that is illumining me and illumining everybody else. So that understanding that I am a part of the whole, I am a part of the totality, but I am not separate. If I say I'm separate, that is an egotistical understanding. But to see the oneness, and we see that in the lives of these great Mahatmas, these great saints, who were able to sublimate their ego, their sense of separateness, and they became an instrument of God. That's what Bhagwan Shri Krishna tells Arjuna, be my instrument. Do whatever you're doing. Your job at this moment is to fight the battle, but do it as my instrument, not as an ego that I am doing it to win the kingdom. No, you are doing it to fight against evil. So whatever I am doing, if I'm a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer, I'm an instrument of God, and God is working through me, then that ego goes away. So I think that is, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Krina?
Okay, so I had a quick question about attachment. And so, like, and it made me think about, like, the stories that we learned as, like, a child, like, when there's, like, or someone who wants a lot of power and they go to, like, the extreme lengths to go pray for it, and then God will give them the power, but then they'll teach them a lesson.
Yes.
Like, in the end, it gets too much. So how would we, because most of us probably won't go to that extreme for something that we're attached to, but how would we kind of like learn our lesson without going to that kind of extreme?
I think by realizing that I am complete, when there is something I become very dependent on, it could be a person, could be a position, could be an object. When I become excessively dependent on that and I feel that I am incomplete, and only by getting that I will become complete, then that is called attachment. That is dependence. It could be a drug. It could be alcohol. It could be a power. And I need power. I need position. It could be dependence on object, you know, my money, my things, my... So anything that I am so attached to that without that I am incomplete, then I become dependent on that. And it could be an individual. I'm so dependent on this person that if this person is not in my life, I am incomplete. So the sense of completeness, because God is in me, so I am complete by myself. All I have to do is realize my completeness, and that is
also happiness.
And that happiness is within. And once I find happiness within, then the world may or may not give me happiness.
Because we do everything for happiness.
We do everything for happiness.
If you watch that.
Right. On the 31st, when we resume Gita class, I'm going to tell a very beautiful story about finding happiness within.
So you guys can come.
Yeah, we will be talking about that. We will continue the Bhagavad Gita in two weeks, even though Bal Vihar has ended. I'll be talking about that. So Ayushi, do you have any other comments?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how in Hinduism specifically, we don't like distinguish between science and religion. I think we find a way to incorporate the two. And like a lot of other religions make that a point of contention. But like earlier in the lecture, when you were talking about the 350,000 different nadis and like how like our physical body really ties in with our whole spiritual understanding of the world, I think it's really interesting because that shows us how we have control over how we deal with those things in terms of like real life terms.
Thank you. Very nice answer. Very good. Anybody else I forgot? Have we got all the youngsters? Did we miss anybody? No. Any adults would like to add something or ask any question? I'm sorry? Any adults would like to add?
Yeah, this is Rajiv.
Yeah.
And getting back to the 10th stanza, where we have the Dhruva Madhya Pranamayurishya somewhere. So bringing the attention to the between the two eyebrows, what, you know, and I've been doing it for years and years, and kind of, is there any tactic to it? Is there, what exactly are we trying to do there? You know, stilling the mind is one thing, bringing the attention between the two eyebrows. I'm just trying to understand that first.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. Eyebrows is said to be the third chakra, the third eye. You know, this the Agya chakra, which is the third eye. So when my attention, it's not, it has doesn't have to be done forcefully where I have a headache, but the attention can be either on the third eye or it can be on the heart, inward. So the mind's attention with the breath is either turned inward. I focus more on that, on going inward. You can do that or you can focus. So the idea is that from many thoughts, your mind attention comes to one thought, and that is the Agnya Chakra. And when you focus on that, then that's the said to be the eye of knowledge. That's why in Lord Shiva, we say the third eye is open. What it means is the Lord has the eye of wisdom. You know, there is knowledge and then there is wisdom where the knowledge can be applied. So that is the goal of yoga, is to open this third eye. It does not mean that if physically you an eye opens, but the it's called the eye of knowledge. The true knowledge dawns. So that is what they are saying. So focus on this third eye, which is the eye of wisdom, but not where you are excessively focusing so you get a headache, but just gently being aware of this knowledge.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also because our mind goes outward. So to bring the mind inward is what is...
Yes.
That's
so,
what is...
Yeah. So what she's saying is the mind which is running outward...
Because we are used to going outward. All the time our senses are going outward.
Yes.
With the mind. So to bring the attention right there is turning the mind inward. That is what the whole thing is. Like he
right.
said.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Okay. So there are just two or three announcements. One is all of you have got an email about God. As we know, that's Chinmaya Organization for Rural Development. They are doing a lot of good work in the poorer areas for children and women's upliftment.
And
adults have received an email. And every year, each class collects, you know, funds to donate for this cause. And so we would encourage every one of you to, if you have the email and if you would like to mail us, you can either do it through PayPal, you can do it through credit card, you can do it by check. And even the youngsters, you can talk to your parents and collect funds, because at this time of need where there is so much hunger and so much poverty, so many problems, this money will go towards good cause. So that's what. And after we have sponsored 10 children, whatever is extra we raise, we always use it for local charities. We have already given $2,000 for hunger removal and for buying a freezer, you know, for where the food is served. So the money is, this has been used in Bakersfield. So this is an opportunity to give back to society. Society has given us so much. So think about it. And if please contact Neeru, or you can go to the website and make donations for CORD. Also, the Chinmaya Mission this year is organizing a summer camp, which is from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. From June 15 to August 15. It's 2 months, only 2 hours in the morning. And in those 2 hours, you will be taught yoga. They will be teaching you spirituality. And they are for all ages, starting from 5 years to 18 years, based on your age. And you can sign up for that. It's $100 for 2 months. And if there are two or three children in one family, it's $150 per family. So these 2 hours are spent very fruitfully in learning, because we have all day. So these 2 hours, they will teach us spirituality, yoga, and all the good things, your questions will be answered. So please sign up for summer camp. We have sent an email. Neeru will be sending another email for the parents. If your children or grandchildren would like to sign up, this will be a wonderful opportunity for the summer camp.
And if the Yuva Kendra kids are interested in helping with the camp, they can contact me or Sujata aunty or somebody, okay? They can help with the summer camp, teaching the little ones.
Oh, yeah. Here?
In the e-camp.
E-camp, okay. So if you are interested in teaching, please contact Sujata aunty or Neeru. And the third question is, should we continue this Bhagavad Gita class? What we are in, through the summer months? Normally, we close it at the end of Bal Vihar. But if there is enough interest, then what we can do is take a week off. And from 31st May, we can do every Sunday the same time, 11 to 12. But what we would like is 20 people at least that are interested in attending. So if we have, and the youth can also continue. I mean, out of the 2 months, you don't have to. If you miss a week or two, it's okay. But if you're interested and are willing to sign in.
Seems like you are enjoying it.
Yeah, it will be open and we'll continue the same topic of Bhagavad Gita and the talk about Om and a lot of other beautiful topics are coming up. So if you can just unmute yourself and people who would be interested in the next 2 months, just please.
Raise your hand.
Or you can raise your hand from May 31st for till August when Bal Vihar starts again. Good. All the youth are interested. That's very nice.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have at least 20, but I would request you then once you have raised your hand, please sign in. Because if we don't have 20 people, then it's not worth it because, you know, I do spend fair amount of time preparing and looking for stories and making it interesting. So it is good. It's good for me too because I get to learn and I get to concentrate on these thoughts. I usually start from Friday evening. So it will be good for all of us. So let us continue. We'll take a week off, the long weekend. The next is Memorial Day weekend. Actually, now there are no long weekends. All weekends are 7-day weekends because our whole week is a weekend. But we'll take a week off and then from May 31st, we'll start again. We'll be sending another email and we'll hopefully continue if we have good response. So we'd like to wish all the best to the graduates who are going on to college. I wish you all the best. I'm sure keep this knowledge with you that all your Bal Vihar teachers have taught you and keep those values with you. And all of you are listening to the questions. Your understanding is great and I'm sure you'll do a good job in college. So best wishes from all of us, from all your teachers. And may the Lord's grace, Lord's blessings and Puja Gurudev's grace be with all of you as you go through your life. So we pray for all the best. And there are 8 students who are graduating this year. Kushi Desai, Rushil Desai, Ayushi Kapadia, Mahima Konani, Rick Bose, Rishi Shah, Sagar Gupta, and Mayur Govindji. You have received a message from Komal aunty and from Sujata aunty on next Sunday from 11 to 12. There is a special graduation program organized by Chinmaya Mission nationally where students from all over the country will be logging in. And you can listen to messages from Swami Swarupananji, who is the worldwide head. And other Swamijis who will be giving a message. So it will be a graduation. But instead of listening to us in the Gokul, you will be listening to teachers throughout the world. And if the lockdown is lifted, then we will meet on August 10th or 16th and maybe have another graduation like we always do. We are hoping by August things will get better. So I think that's it. Anything else?
That's it.
I think Vandita was going to do the Hanuman Chalisa. That we're just praying to Hanumanji for his blessings to help us in this difficult time.
Sure.
pavanatane
sanatanaya sankataharana
mangala murti roop
ravana lakana sita sahiba hridaya basahu surabhu
siya vara ramachandra ki pavana sutanu
anmuti ओम कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभाव करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम थैंक यू अगेन हरि ओम